It's time to get outside. This is KSL Outdoors, brought to you by Trax Power Sports. 2 hours of stories and information on hunting, fishing, and high adventure. Our host is Tim Hughes on KSL News Radio.
Welcome back. Nice to have you. Hour number two and the final one for another week. We're going to do a little road tripping coming up in this half hour. Bob and Mark will check back with us. Speaking of road tripping, did you tell me you're headed to Moab?
Yep, going to go down there, ride a few bikes, enjoy the sun, play some golf, eat some food.
You guys did this last year and had a blast about the same time, didn't you?
You know, my wife loves Moab. She worked down there on Western River. She was a river guide rowing those boats. And then when we were dating as mountain bike couples. So we were down at Slick Rock literally every weekend. So she has a sentimental place for it, and she likes warm weather.
Are those trails friendly to road bikes like yours, the tiny tires, or are they?
No. Yeah, we ride on the road. We ride, you know, the big.
Oh, I don't mean, I don't mean like Slick Rock. I mean the bike trails that are established around town. Are those friendly to street bike riding?
Yeah, they're wonderful.
Okay, good.
Yeah, their bridges have those curlicues that get you across the river.
Yeah.
It's lovely.
All right. Good. So you're going to squeeze that in and then probably a couple of more days of skiing, I would guess.
I'm hoping.
You got skiing golf in one day this week, didn't you?
Yeah, we skied all day, then went and played 18.
Nice.
That was a good day.
We're going to get a full list from you coming up on our snow day segment in this hour of your top 25 ski resorts, not just here, you know, around the U.S., but really internationally, because you've done quite a bit of that.
Right. I've skied in 6 countries.
Yeah.
Yep.
So we'll look forward to that. Roger Eggett, Bear River Lodge, will also check in with us, of course. But right now, to start the hour, I wanted to get our conversation going with our Migratory Bird and Falconry Programs Coordinator for the DWR. That's Jason Jones. Jason, nice to have you.
Hey, nice to be here.
'Tis that time of year when many of the new members of the animal families are making their first appearances, and for most of us, that happens in our neighborhoods with birds. Every year when we have one of these conversations, I always share the fact that we had I'm sure it was a robin's nest. My kids were tiny, so it was years ago. But a robin's nest in one of our trees out front, and we had a front row seat through the window to watch all of this as Mom would bring, you know, food back for the babies. But one of them got out of the nest, and we tried to intervene, and Mom didn't know what we were doing, and she was doing dive bombs on our head. I mean, I guess we can do more damage than good in most cases.
Yeah, that's sometimes the case, but it's common for baby birds to get blown out of the nest. I mean, they're little eating machines, and they can get overly agitated, and people commonly find robins and other birds in their yards. You know, and people can put the birds back in the nest if possible. I mean, it's just really common for folks to see robins nesting under their patios or in the trees outside their home. So we do have some guidance on what folks can do if they find a baby bird. We get a lot of these kind of calls this time of year, you can imagine, Tim.
Yeah. Well, the other thing is we have dogs, and we didn't want the dogs to do something instinctively that we would feel bad about, so we wanted to help save the bird. One of the tips that was listed here is if the bird is still featherless, I guess that should be an indicator that you can probably still put it back in the nest?
Yeah, you can try. And when we say featherless, a lot of songbirds are little pink, you know, just little pink pieces of flesh, and sometimes they have some white downy feathers. Those aren't flight feathers, so those are featherless birds. And if you can, you can try to pick those up and put them back in the nest. I mean, you don't want to do anything dangerous like climb a tree, so maybe you can place it right back in the nest if it's accessible, or maybe you should just try to put it up on a tree branch, like you said, out of the way of dogs and cats. And you know, typically those birds are going to squawk, and you know, hopefully their mom's going to come and save the day.
Yep.
That's common. So,
Navi, we've talked about your ski season, your golf season, and your bike season, but it's about your bird season too, isn't it?
You know, the older I get, Tim, the more I love watching birds. I just love it. And by the way, there's a term that we use when a bird falls out of a net, fledgling. Okay, that fledgling is used even to describe humans when you're talking about incapable but almost capable but problematic. So fledgling birds, when they fall out. Look, I love sitting in my chair and watching the birds, and Gail will watch me watch birds because you can do this for hours. Yes, they're amazing.
Yeah.
I just love watching birds.
The one thing they need to be aware of, Jason, because it can even get you into legal trouble, is don't take one of these little things home with you.
Yeah, most people should realize that most birds are protected by federal and state laws, and they shouldn't take one home with them. And getting back to a fledgling, I mean, people can – it's common for a bird to be basically in training with those fledgling flight feathers. And this process might take a couple of days. You might see a bird on the ground hopping around, and it's got feathers. And it's basically in training. It's learning how to fly. And a lot of times, you know, you should just use the old adage, let nature take its course, right, and kind of step back.
Yeah. Let's back up a little bit before they actually hatch. You don't want to be messing with eggs, certainly.
Certainly, yeah. You don't want to be messing with eggs. You could be cited for messing with nests and eggs. It's against the law. So once a bird initiates a nest, I mean, you basically have to leave it alone. There are steps you can take for your home or your properties before or after the nesting season if you have an issue with birds on your property. And I do have some suggestions for that just because I've been around birds for quite a while.
What are some of those suggestions?
So, I mean, if you're a homeowner and you've got birds nesting in your eaves or crawling into spaces up on your property, you can use some spray foam insulation or you can use some fine wire mesh. I actually helped my sister because she had birds that were going into the exhaust of her HVAC unit. And the HVAC guy was like, hey, I'm not cleaning out, you know, dead birds from your HVAC anymore. So I ordered a cover for that had the fine wire mesh. So outside the nesting season, if you've got issues, you can take preventative measures. We actually had a call. I had a call from a junior high school yesterday that was afraid they had a nesting mallard in the grass. And that's common. And I told the teacher, like, you can go investigate. And if there's not a nest there yet, have the custodian cut the grass. But if there's a nest, really, you've got to maybe put up some cones and have folks stay away from the nest until it hatches and,
Yeah.
And the birds move on.
Well, I can tell you this from personal experience. The robins were a welcome attraction for us, especially when the kids were little to watch them. The starlings that tend to rip everything apart are not. And they got into the eaves of our house. It happened to be right outside and above our bedroom window, which was annoying. But what I learned was they built nests in a couple of other places. One was inside my barbecue, which was not smart on their part. The other one was in the vent of our dryer upstairs. And once they hatch from there, they're kind of instinctively brought back to that same place the following year, right?
Right. Some birds come back to successful nesting locations. Some don't. I will say that starlings are one of the bird species that are not protected.
Yay.
They're highly destructive. That's the birds I helped my sister with. And you should take steps to protect your home from, I mean, starlings especially bring a lot of nesting material into your property and they crawl into some very small spaces. So again, you can kind of solve that issue with maybe some spray foam or some wire mesh.
Yeah. Navi, you have anything else to add?
Yeah. We, last year we had a red-tailed hawk and, oh, she was lovely. And there were, you know, two of them and they had two, chicks, I guess, you know, they washed them out. So one night we heard thud on our motorhome and went up there. It was a snake got dropped on our, on our motorhome. And it turns out over that summer, we found eight snakes that were dropped. I guess the mom brings snakes to the chicks. And they somehow fall out of the nest.
You heard of that, Jason?
Yeah, I've heard of that. Yeah, and birds have very specific diets, and a lot of raptors eat meat, and a lot of ducks are vegetarians, and, you know, you'll see robins eating worms and such, and that kind of brings us to the point of letting the public know that if they do find a baby bird, they probably shouldn't feed it because birds have different and very specific diets, and you can actually harm a bird by feeding it the wrong thing.
Yeah.
So if you find a baby bird, just try to place it back in its nest or let the parents take care of it.
That's good advice, as always. Jason, thanks for your time today. We appreciate it.
Hey, anytime.
We need to take a break, so we will do that when we come back. Road trip and with the boys, we'll find out where they're going to take us this week. Bob and Mark next.